18th, 2012. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from my office in the suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today, and thanks for listening to RBN. To see the guest lineup for Studio A and B, please click on the word schedule in the RBN banner at the top of the page at republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest schedule for this program, please visit the radio schedule page at spingola.com, where you will see a list of the guests together with links to their websites and other interesting links. Feel free to join my email list to receive a weekly announcement of the scheduled guest and any other special notices. I have linked it to today's date. For questions or comments during the program, email spingola1 at yahoo.com. My regular email is deanna@spingola.com, which I do not access during the program. We will take your calls in the second hour after the first break at 800-313-9443. My guest today is Rodney Martin. His website is Worldview Foundations, and that is found at wvfoundations.org. Rodney, welcome to the program. Rodney, are you there?
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us.
I want to thank you. This is rather new. This is my first Skype interview, so this is breaking new ground just everywhere.
Well, that's good. I love Skype. You can talk to everybody that you want to throughout the world. It's just wonderful.
Yes, I tell you, my son's been on me for quite a while. He says, "You know, Dad, you got to move into the new century." So, I was out for a while for some medical stuff, and so he upgraded everything, and so came back, and I had Skype and all sorts of stuff, and I've actually learned to love it. It's really great.
It is great. Well, you were out for quite a while. You had some medical issues, and I'm glad that you're feeling better now. And we're going to talk today about what you call Weimar America. And it's just kind of amazing. Right before the program went on, I was watching a video, and it's called Education for Death, Disney World War II Propaganda Cartoon. And it's about a 10-minute cartoon, and it was produced by Walt Disney. It is absolutely atrocious. Now, I know that World War II isn't what the subject matter is today, your subject covers a earlier period, but this cartoon is just so awful. I mean, it just would make anybody just really hate the Germans.
Well, you know, if I can share with you a little story about Disney, that's kind of interesting how things, you know, change politically. Disney was going broke in the United States based on it as a corporation that's United States net revenue during the 30s, where Disney was showing a profit and and had a positive side on its balance sheet was its revenue in Germany right up into about 1940. When things started getting pretty dicey. As a matter of fact, Roy Disney, Walt's brother, who ran the business side of the Disney Corporation, made numerous trips to Germany in the 30s, right up until, I think, right about 1940, shoring up the business relationship in Germany.
Rodney, could you hold that? And we do have to take a real quick 3-minute break, and we'll be right back.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dried guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes 6 number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GET-BERKEY. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plans, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Rodney Martin. His website is wvfoundations.org. And Rodney, you were talking about Germany and the Disney business over there and Roy Disney.
Yeah, what I just wanted to share with you, Deanna, is that essentially during the very tough and lean years of the Disney Corporation, that Disney's balance sheet subsisted off of revenues they made in Germany. Out of all of Europe, they made the most revenue, and they basically, the revenues they made off of their productions and their operations in Germany carried the company for a significant amount of time in the 1930s. And they courted and spent a lot of time, Roy Disney himself, who ran the business operations of the Disney company, spent a lot of time in Germany meeting with particularly Joseph Goebbels, who ran the cultural side, the Reich Chamber of Film and such. And as a matter of fact, Disney, they're gone, they're missing in history, but they had presented Adolf Hitler with a series of Disney films, special produced Disney films. And there's some line of thinking that those ended up at the Berghof, Obersalzburg, but they were never recovered. They may have been looted by American or French forces at the end of the war. And then, of course, the war broke out. Disney made these atrocious propaganda films. Ford Motor Company, they made tanks and other armaments, for the war effort. It's just interesting how war changed things, because there was a great deal of American interest and sympathy and support for the political system in Germany between 1933 and the outbreak of the war, when the Americans went to war with Germany on December 11th, 1941. And there was a lot of opposition to FDR's agitation and poking and prodding and trying to get the United States in the war. And was it kind of ironic that the war was actually with Japan, but yet Roosevelt decided that his interest was in Europe. So a little footnote to history.
Right. Very interesting. Of course, the whole point in provoking Japan to go into Pearl Harbor and also into the Philippines was so the United States could go into Europe, which was the real target.
Oh, absolutely. You know, this agitation began shortly after January of 1933. Jewish interests were whispering in Roosevelt's ear, and of course Roosevelt had economic problems. His economic policies were abject failures. And whereas he looked at the German model, and in 36 months the NSDAP program had turned a broke and bankrupt nation into essentially a world superpower, and that just shattered the world elites, that you could take a new political system, a political system that was neither Marxist nor hyper-capitalist, a completely new system, and completely retool and revolutionize a nation and fundamentally change it, and not have to rely on the international Zionist banking system and the money brokers to become independent and self-sufficient. And that is probably the real origins for the Second World War. It had nothing to do with the issue with Poland. That was just used as an artificial excuse. And now I'm getting off the topic, but
I think it's all relevant.
It is very relevant. Because this did actually begin, and it had its roots in Weimar. The elements that started that were responsible for this artificial aberration called Weimar, they had been agitating under the Kaiser, and even under the Kaiser's monarchy, as far back as Bismarck, they've been agitating and trying to pull the same tactics then, and they were getting essentially the social programs and such that they wanted. Universal health care, Bismarck gave them in 1883. Germany was responsible for the very first universal health care system in 1883. Churchill was touring Europe and was in Germany and was seeing Germans essentially pull out medical insurance cards and getting free health care and says, what are these? Germany had it, years. I mean, Britain didn't get that until Clement Attlee was the British prime minister in 1946. So it was truly remarkable how these forces that created this Weimar Republic, they were agitating that far back, even though they were essentially getting, even under the Kaiser, the things that they wanted. And then, of course, the perfect storm. They got World War One, and they agitated all 4 years of World War One. They were stabbing the Kaiser's government, the German military, agitating. They were responsible for the mutiny in the German Navy at Kiel. They were responsible for that. They were sabotaging the war effort. Here you have a situation where the German military wins. They defeat Russia. They knock Russia out of the war in 1918. They drive within just a few miles of Paris. And because of the extreme defeatist agitation by Marxist and Jewish forces at home, they have to request an armistice. And yet, they knock Russia out of the war. They're on the verge of they had France and England out on their feet. And even with the new American Expeditionary Force, they were almost on the verge of taking Paris, and they have to ask for an armistice, not because they were beaten on the field of battle, but because they were the agitation back home. And then you have lackeys. Now, Philipp Scheidemann was the one who went to the window of the Reichstag and declared, we're going to have a republic, and conceded to the demands that the German nation give up its form of government that had been established in 1876 when they'd won the first, when they beat France the first time in the Franco-Prussian War. They create this republic, which probably, and absent any vote, the German populace didn't chose that. It was just declared by this fool Scheidemann, as a result of the agitation of the influences and the communist influences within the Social Democratic Party.
Right.
And then they meet in Weimar, and they say, that's where it became the Weimar Republic. They draft this liberal what they call liberal democratic constitution that is absolutely foreign to the German populace. It's contrary to their values, and it sounds real good. But what it did was essentially usher in all of the cultural and moral decadence and lay the foundation for the destruction of traditional German cultural, social norms and values, and which would eventually, we would see the United States beginning in the 1960s openly as a result of them being expelled. I'm going to be bouncing back and forth because I talk about Weimar America, but it's important because I draw a parallel. You know, you had this run of Weimar from about 1923 until the Weimar Republic was erased and fell in 1933. And then from about 1933, when the Weimar people were rapidly leaving Germany, they all came to the United States. They came to two places. They came to New York and they came to Hollywood, and they took up their tasks there. But during their time to in Weimar, you've seen a lot of firsts that you would see later in the United States. In Weimar, you've seen essentially some of the very first gay clubs, some of the very first we would call pornographic movies. These things just were absolutely abhorrent to the German populace. Population. They absolutely retooled fundamentally German culture under the clever ruse of liberal democracy. Of course, there was a plethora of political parties, and under the auspice of proportional representation, they, you know, it was just absolutely unstable. It was a nightmare, and of course it was a Jewish banker's dream. There was a period of what they commonly refer to as the golden years, about 1923 to about 1929, which is when the Wall Street crashed. But the reason why they called it the golden years was it was artificial, Deanna. This is important to note. What these Weimar traitors to Germany did. They went over to the United States, and under the Dawes Plan, going back to 1919, Germany was made to say that they were completely responsible for World War I, admit, stipulate to everything. Sound familiar? It had to do the same thing with World War II. Again, there's this perpetual German guilt for every ill, everything that's evil in the world, all of the Allied propaganda that was perpetuated in World War I, they had to say, yes, that was all true. German troops did fling babies on bayonets, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they had to pay for that. Essentially, Britain, France, the United States, and such, you know, had to pay for their war debt off of Germany. So how did they do this? Well, the bankers, particularly in the United States, this was a dream to them because Germany in World War I was untouched internally. That was one thing the German army said, that, you know, no ally, no foreign troops ever touched German soil. So the inside interior, the infrastructure, the assets of Germany was untouched. Well, these Jewish bankers mortgaged, they hawked the German railroad, the German banks. Anything of value was hawked, was mortgaged as security for these new loans to pay for these reparations.
Wow. All righty, we do have to go to a break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
As business becomes more difficult, control of cash and the ability to borrow becomes critical. Working Capital Cash is your greatest insurance and guarantee of financial stability in these uncertain times. Equipment leasing allows you to obtain the income-producing equipment that your business needs and pay for it with tax-free, ever-devaluing dollars. Money that you've already earned and paid taxes on should be sparingly used. That is your reserve capital, safety net. We are also able to buy and lease back equipment that you already own and have depreciated, thereby making more cash available for your present day needs. For a complete, comprehensive explanation as to how this financial truth will benefit your business future, call Bob New Incorporated at 888-639-2621. 888-639-2621. Keep your working capital cash reserves and borrowing capability. 888-639-2621.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Website is wvfoundations.org. And Rodney, you were talking about the necessity for reparations, and that was one way that the international bankers could enslave Germany, because they certainly didn't need to rebuild their infrastructure because nobody had invaded.
That's correct. The interior of Germany was intact. You know, their railroads, Germany was not bombed out. Germany in 1918, 1919 was not in the same condition that Germany in 1945 was, which gives you an example as to why they always say in 1945, why did Germans fight to the last man? Well, they knew what was going to happen. They knew, you know, in 1918, the Allies lied. President Wilson presented the, his famous points.
The 14 points,
and said this was it, and the Germans, well, that's kind of fair, we'll enter into an armistice discussion based on those. And then they went to Compiègne, and they said, guess what, we lied. And but anyway, give me an idea, Deanna. The lead negotiator, the Weimar government, was just absolutely infested with Jewish foreign interests that were representing not the interests of the German nation, not German national interests, but foreign interests. And they signed away, they hawked, they essentially pawned the German railroad, the German banks, all of the German assets. And so on these loans, on the Dawes-Planned loans, and for these enormous reparations that they agreed to, they essentially signed anything that was put in front of them. And, of course, you had behind the scenes on these so-called peace negotiations and these sub-agreements, you had bankers and people just, licking their chops. Behind every great agreement, there's drooling bankers just, waiting to make money. on them. I'll give you an example. In November 1932, which was the key election for the NSDAP, the election where they won the majority seats in the Reichstag, which led to Hitler being appointed chancellor, they had presented the NSDAP an emergency economic program, which was very detailed. I covered it in two parts on a podcast on my website, which you can listen to. I want to give you a little factoid out of it. By 1931, and they actually quoted, it was very well researched for the time. The NSDAP put out a lot of stats, statistics out in which they presented their economic plan. This was a plan that the NSDAP put out to the whole German nation and said, this is our economic plan to get the country back to work, to address the economic and social ills. And it covered everything from banking to reparations to agriculture to job creation. But by 1931, and they cited the American, what was then the American Institute of Economics, Germany had paid 38 billion marks in reparations to what they had called the victorious states. It said, and here's a direct quote. According to German estimates, if one includes the occupation of the Ruhr, which was by the French at the time, and the dismantling of German industry, the total is 67.5 billion marks. And this huge sum does not include the value of land that Germans lost, which was West Prussia and other states, and the colonies. The incalculable harm and loss resulted from the arbitrary dismembering of Germany. Furthermore, to pay reparations, Germany took on a private foreign debt obligation of an additional 10.3 billion marks. They were just piling debt and piling debt and piling debt, the international bankers were, on Germany. And then, of course, the United States was going through a big, big boom at this time, and just, you know, based on all this debt. And then when the stock market crashed in 1929, Deanna, what happened was the United States, those bankers called the loans. And they what they were, the Weimar fools were calling the golden years, were over overnight. The loans were called, and they had to start making interest-only payments, essentially. You had trustees coming into Germany overseeing German national interests, such as German railroads and such, and Germany was making making interest payments. And the NSDAP was telling the German populace that, you know, they were making interest payments of up to 10.5 billion marks per year just in interest payments. They weren't even touching the principal on their debt obligation. And what was interesting during this Weimar period, the NSDAP never, ever proposed walking away from the debt. They proposed what business does in general, restructuring it and going back to the table and saying to the allies and makers, you knew this wasn't fair when you did this. We know it's not fair. This needs to be restructured and reworked all through this economic program. And if you look at what I call Weimar America today, these international bankers, they essentially do the same playbook. And the same thing with Mr. Romney, what he has done in his business career. They either load nations up or businesses up with tons of debt. They make a boatload of money, and either and then they implode the nation or they implode the business, and they walk away, and they call this American exceptionalism, or they call this great corporate success, and they leave a lot of human tragedy and misery in their wake. And political party of NSDAP exposed this.
Right. Okay. We're going to take a 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, meg, Vitamin D, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Super 2, Natural Laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, Memory Power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at HerbalHealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. HerbalHealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to HerbalHealer.com today. HerbalHealer.com.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Martin. His website is wvfoundations.org. And Rodney, you were talking about, you mentioned Romney and his predatory policies against independent businesses, and then you also that the NSDAP exposed these practices, which is very significant.
Yes, and they spoke, for the benefit of the viewers, you go to my website, it's not posted yet. But this 1932, this November 1932 emergency program, the NSDAP, there is a significant, I can't stress this enough, a significant number of parallels between the economic and social circumstances that was taking place in Weimar Germany and what is taking place in the United States today. And I'm going to explain why, because all of the Weimar Cretans all ran to the United States when they were kicked out of Germany. And they always run the same playbook. And I'll give you another example. These Weimar types, and I'll use that term because we're talking about Weimar and Weimar America, they love to talk about, you know, free trade. They hate countries that are on the verge of or are self-sufficient and countries that tend to not utilize the services of money brokers and such. Germany was always strong on exports. Germany, we always talk about German engineering, and Germany makes things and was very strong on exports. Well, it's kind of interesting. Under Weimar, even in the so-called golden years, the Weimar period killed German exports. They dropped 35%, more than a third, by 1932, which was the last, you know, full year of the Weimar period. German exports had fallen dramatically, and German exports was always a very strong component of the German economy. And if you look at what the, you know, the strongest proponents of this so-called free trade and outsourcing and such are the international bankers, and look at what they have done to the United States. They have taken the United States from a major powerhouse in terms of manufacturing into what I call the McDonald's economy. You have people working at McDonald's that once worked in steel mills. You have people working at McDonald's that went to school, went to colleges to get degrees to jump into this high tech field, which completely bypassed because it was outsourced to India and China. And the NSDAP even talks about this. They went so far, Deanna, they were so far ahead of their time. They have in this emergency economic plan what I call the Walmart Clause, and I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. They went so far as to have provisions in their economic plan to what they called department stores and consumer societies. Immediate help is necessary, I'm quoting this directly, to assure that new department stores and low-price shops and chain stores may not be open so as to be predatory on what they would call the small mom-and-pop stores, and I'm paraphrasing in the interest of time because I want to really stick to Weimar and the Weimar parasites that were thrown out of Germany and came to the United States. But I'm going to post this. It's about 28 pages. And it was published throughout Germany. And, you know, we talk about here in the United States back in the 1990s, Newt Gingrich and his crowd published this real, you know, thing called the Contract with America. Well, this was a fundamental blueprint for the complete restructuring of Germany, the German economy, and a blueprint for making Germany self-sufficient and kicking the international bankers out and ridding Germany of this unfair debt, foreign debt. And by the way, you know, the United States is in the exact same position that Germany was in the same period in the 1930s. Huge foreign
because,
debt.
Because of NAFTA, because of this so-called contract with America, because of some of the things that Romney and his cronies have done, all of the above, right?
These are Romney and his people are the posterity of the Weimar people that left Germany and came to the United States. These are the people that meet up in the Bohemian Forest of Northern California and plot the demise of Western Christian civilization. These are the people, you know, that the NSDAP were fighting against. And now people are programmed to say that Romney and his people are the good guys, i.e. support them against your own interest, and the evil NSDAP were the bad people. It is so absolutely, I mean, it's laughable. Sometimes it's during laugh that, you know, people actually embrace this cabal who are so contrary to their interests. But getting back to, you know, Weimar, as I said, during Weimar, under the auspice of liberal democracy, do whatever you want. You had the first, you know, decadent art, which was essentially pornography. You know, pornography made it to the newsstands under Weimar. You essentially had the destruction of the traditional family, you know, under Weimar. Under Weimar, you had the first concept of no-fault divorce, which the United States has destroyed the family. You had the cinema. Movies and live theater became so decadent that children could not go to many of the performances that were put on both live theater and the cinema. The cabarets, you know, the famous cabarets were so decadent that they were offensive. People would come in from the countryside and believe what had happened, what was going on. In the cities. Now, I will say this about Berlin. Berlin was always a dicey city. It was always a leftist city. That's why Hitler had sent Goebbels there to tame Berlin, because it was always a leftist city. Berlin was the city in which the NSDAP always had the toughest time in elections. And there is an interesting book written by two people. It's called Berlin in the 20s. If you get a chance, you may want to, in your copious free time, you may want to read it. But it gives you a great example of just how decadent Weimar was, because he just gives you everything that Weimar wanted to accomplish for all of Germany, they did accomplish in Berlin. And in fact, Berlin today, it's considered the homosexual mecca in Europe. They've renamed the Victory Column in Germany today. The Victory Column was built by the Prussian Kaisers. They've renamed that. They've rededicated that as a gay and lesbian memorial. It's just amazing. Weimar essentially was kicked out by the NSDAP in 1933, and then they came back, including their black, white, and yellow, emphasis on yellow flag, in 1948, when the Allies allowed them to even have a flag. So giving a little example as to what they did. Interestingly enough, though, there was a backlash building in Weimar during this period. Traditional artisans actually began to lead the way against this cultural decadence, and they actually began to write. First, they started writing among themselves, saying, hey, this effort, this new decadent art, this new decadent music, these aren't even Germans, that are pushing this. The symphonies were being led by a majority of Jewish and foreign composers. There was only a handful of Germans. And that same way went with a lot of the art that was being pushed. And so the pushback, believe it or not, the most effective pushback initially against Weimar came from traditional German art, artisans and musicians. For the first, say, from about 1919 into the, mid-20s or 30s, nationally in Germany, the NSDAP was not a national party. It was a regional Bavarian party. The Beer Hall Putsch took place in Munich. It was a Munich party. It was essentially meant to, take control of the Bavarian government and then spread the revolution up into Germany, and then eventually have a march on Berlin, very much similar to the way Mussolini had a march on Rome. But initially, the resistance and pushback against Weimar came from traditional German artisans, and then it grew from there. And then, of course, politically, it boiled down to two major parties fighting, and that was the NSDAP. And I'm giving you a condensed version between the National Socialists and the Communists, with the Social Democrats for the most of the time holding the keys of power, enacting all the laws during Weimar that they do now. They outlawed the National Socialists. They outlawed political party uniforms for a large amount of time, significant amount of time, between 1919, the party's founding, the NSDAP's founding in 1919, till they achieved power. There was a significant amount of time that it was outlawed, forbidden to assemble in public. There's pictures of National Socialist rallies with its party members not wearing any shirts. They're just wearing their trousers and boots because they were forbidden to, quote, wear uniforms. So they would have their assemblies without shirts on to just bypass these silly laws in the so-called liberal democracy of Weimar. In the meantime, the communists were giving carte blanche to rape, rob, murder, and pillage under Weimar. So if go forward steadily and steadily from about 1926 on, the NSDAP consistently gained seats in the Reichstag up until that key election in 1932. And I think there's several contributing factors: the outright misery, the abject failure of the Weimar leadership, and of course the NSDAP put out a very, very detailed plan. And the German electorate are very well educated. They always have been. And you read this document and it is impressive. Almost all of it would be applicable to addressing the economic and social ills in the United States today. And So it was just a matter of time from that election in 1932 to until von Hindenburg would appoint Hitler's chancellor. And, of course, you had the von Papen deal, which ultimately led to that, a coalition government between the nationalists and the national socialists. And, you know, within 3 years, it was a national socialist government, and you had the Weimar, the main architects of the Weimar disaster, fleeing the country. Now, initially, some of them went to Paris and London, but for the most part, particularly what I call the cultural Marxists, the entertainment ones, the ones that polluted and contaminated the German culture. And, you know, that was an experiment. When I talked about the cultural pollution in Germany under Weimar, where you had the first, homosexual clubs, the first bathhouses, you had decadent art, you had pornography, you know, being introduced to the German populace. Well, they all went to Hollywood. I mean, you had such producers as Fritz Lang, went to Hollywood, left his wife in Germany. She was a very accomplished actress, and of course, she stayed in Germany. She was a German. He was Jewish. He was welcomed with great fanfare in Hollywood, had a Hollywood career, made many movies. She essentially died almost a pauper in Germany in the early 1950s, and even though she was an accomplished actress, because of the Marxist political correctness machine that has ruled Germany since the capitulation in 1945, there was a network in Hollywood beginning in the 1930s that was set up, particularly in Louis Mayer's in the studios and all of the studios, where if you were fleeing Germany, fleeing the ex-Weimar regime and Jewish, you had a job waiting for you in Hollywood and New York. And so the couple recent revelations that have come out in both the Los Angeles Times by, you know, prominent Jews working in Hollywood, and the anonymous article written recently in the Jerusalem Times, saying that Jews control Hollywood and Jews control the media, and quantifying that, that has long been fact. Because beginning in 1933, when the Jews that had manipulated and contaminated German art, culture, and music were fleeing Germany, they had jobs waiting for them. You know, they didn't come and go through Ellis Island and then sat and had, you know, sponsors and sat and waited for employment. They had jobs waiting for them as producers, directors, actors, actresses, musicians. And so they went right to work in the United States with their doing the exact same thing in the United States that they were doing in Germany. Now, granted, they were a little more subtle. They took a little more time. And, of course, the war came, and a lot of them went into the U.S. military because they had been in Germany before. And they showed up in Nuremberg, believe it or not. And these were new American citizens. And I'm going forward. You know, we went through the period of the 50s, and the emphasis was on dealing with the Soviet Union, which was quite interesting. The Cold War really heated up with the Soviet Union. All of a sudden, our great ally, who the Germans had out on their feet in 1941, who we rescued, all of a sudden, oh, they were an evil empire. But the big break for the Weimar people that had left Weimar and came to the United States came in the 1960s. And that's where you see an exact duplicate of Weimar. And that's where I say Weimar America was born. You see an exact duplicate of Weimar Germany, United States being born. You see the absolute, that's where they came out of the closet, per se. You see the overt embracing of miscegenation. You see the guilt, saying that white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Europeans should be guilty. They were doing that in Germany, by the way, under Weimar. The Germans should feel guilty, you know, for the war. Now, they had a hard time with that one, but there were news articles. You've seen that in some of the halls of academia in German academic institutions, that Germans should pay the reparations and should feel some remorseful for, you know, for the war guilt. They tried to lay it somewhat on the Kaiser and the imperial staff. The problem was they didn't get much traction with that in Germany at the time, because the German military, even under Weimar, was held in very, very high esteem. You've seen the President Hindenburg. You've seen many, many pictures. President Hindenburg always wearing his pickle rubber helmet and his field marshal's uniform.
Right. Well, they certainly made it work after World War II as far as the German guilt thing. All righty, we do have to go to a 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Are you completely fed up with being dependent on those fat cat electricity monopolies that raise your rates again and again? Are you terrified about how you'll keep your home and family safe when a power crisis happens? 123/power.com has set up a free video presentation that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they are: incompetent lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Now, some have called this a conspiracy, others have called it a cover-up, and you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. The video at 123/power.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret to slash your power bill and beat the electricity monopoly for good. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123/power.com and discover one weird trick to cut your power bill and protect your home. Easy to remember, 123/power.com. Go watch the video now before they shut it down. Again, that's 123/power.com.
View Foundations, that is wvfoundations.org. Now, you talked about Fritz Lang, and who are some of the other producers and movie people that came over? And would you also include in that people like Leo Strauss and some of his people, although he did come over earlier, but some of that type, the people that are now neoconservatives that are pushing the war?
Well, a lot of these people are, you know, there's a big name, you know, Marlene Dietrich is a big one, well, and who she was. And she was specifically asked by the National Socialist government to come home, and she refused. And, you know, she had, you know, she, because she was at the time having some relations with some, you know, she was in some interracial relationships that would have been in violation of the Nuremberg laws. But regardless of that, she was specifically asked to come home, and she didn't. And she subsequently made an anti-Adolf Hitler film called The Black Fox. You can get it on some of the alternative media sites that sell some of the old historic films, and it's a hack job. And you know, she's a prominent one that was a German, but she clearly you know, stuck out with the Hollywood crowd. But there was, you know, thousands and thousands of what you would call the, you know, the writers and the producers, you know, what I like to call, you know, the cogs in the machinery that really do the damage. And then, of course, you know, the statistics we hear about the large number of Jewish lawyers and such that was dominating Germany at the time, you know, that was true. They fled to the United States. They came and entered the United States system and worked in that system. Then when the war came, they immediately became American, quote, intelligence officers, because they had lived in Germany, knew Germans, and, you know, much like, let me draw a parallel to modern times, and that's, you know, a lot of my premise is Weimar America, is you had a lot of these Iraqis, you know, when George W. Bush was talked in by the Jewish neocons to go to war against Iraq because people are going to make money off the deal. And a lot of these Iraqis that were over here, like Chalabi was a big name. Chalabi, you know, peddled all of this bogus and erroneous information that all turned out to be absolutely false. It's like all of these Jewish intelligence officers, and of course some of them even changed their names to German names, all became, all of a sudden, they were U.S. citizens. Well, and then years later, they were talked about all of how they were repressed in Germany, that they were Germans, and they were Germans. And then, of course, they show up in Nuremberg as Americans. And then years later, they were, you know, lambasting the evil Nazis for going against their people. It's so absolutely atrocious. You know, what are they? And that was the whole premise of the NSDAP's concern. And, you know, fast forward again, you have this Muslim war on the United States. And the reaction of the United States is taken.
All righty, we do have a 60-second top of the hour break. We will be back after station ID.
When the collapse